when there's strong clinging to having less of Wusu, does it indicate also wrong view about the importance of
not understanding nama and rupa, no self, absolute pluralities?
You mentioned just now the example of giving about respecting the other person. Here is another quote of something you mentioned, that it's related to seeing an invisible object and understanding what conditions seeing at this moment. And then you said, so when we think about gratitude or paying respect, it's only understanding the vipaka, no one to be respected. And I just wondered what you meant exactly.
So no one to be given things?
Of course we give, but in fact, if we're talking about seeing an invisible object and appreciating vipaka, actually, it's no one.
We have to understand both reality and concept.
And when we pay respect to the Buddha, we are appreciating actually the Dharma, such as the vipaka, this moment, the seeing, the visible object which is seen. And so again, actually, we say we're paying respect, but
through his virtues.
Do you think paying respect to the Buddha's virtues can be done as a regular thing?
No rule at all. Aren't we not now paying respect to him?
I think we are. Mm-hmm. But what about having the habit of reciting something before going to sleep at night or something like that? Do you think that
is one truthful enough?
I don't know.
Not more tassa pakkavato, the meaning. Arahato sammā sambuddhassa, as much as one can understand. But what about long, long words, lines? Do you understand that?
Even the namo tassa bhagavato?
Yes, namo tassa bhagavato. Bhagavato means Buddha.
In this case, in particular, when I'm chanting, I cannot think of the Lord Buddha. I can't respect him, I cannot think of him in a good way, because I'm concentrating on what I'm chanting. The most patient that I can think of him is just sit down and look at him and imagine, rather than Namo Tassa Bhagavato, which but, I cannot realize.
But even Namo Tassa, what kind of citta which think about that term? Namo, see?
My citta is just concentrating on...
But respectfully.
I don't think of any respect there.
So it's not kusala.
That's what I'm saying, you see. I better sit in front of him.
In front of the image?
Right, I mean the image. Or,
So but, you can tell the difference between kusala citta and akusala citta.
My kusala citta is better if I just look at him and think about him without around some
even there is no image at all.
Even
not more, at that moment. Very tender, very gentle, very humble. Not more, that's a bhagavato, see?
Sometimes I say namo and then I think of him, you know, something like that. Complicated to me. I cannot do two things at the same time.
Depending on the understanding of citta, to see the difference between akusala citta and kusala citta. At moment of being kusala, very humble to his virtues.
To me, I just feel better, happier.
With lopa or what?
Yeah,
see?
Sometimes I have to do two things at the same time, which is not true, which is not right thing.
In the past, I must have chanted these respectful verses like Namo Tassa and the Dhamma Sangha Chan, etc. Thousands of times for many years, but I found that for the cultivation of gratitude and respect, etc., etc., very helpful for myself. But when it came to insight, not very helpful.
So, in what way was that helpful? The chanting,
respect for the virtues.
Sadha. What is better than chanting without understanding?
Not chanting with understanding.
Because sometimes, you know, you just go according to the book or letter or your memory. But it
the Buddha want us to do that, to be like that, without any understanding, just paying respect.
Sometimes I end up with making special respect after chanting. Perhaps it's a habit. It's interesting.
Meaning of vipassana, does it just refer to vipassana jnanas, or can it be used as a synonym for satipatthana or patipada?
Vipassana jnana.
Must be vipassana jnana. Some people say patipatti and vipassana is the same, but this isn't correct, I don't think. And also some people refer to applying vipassana or vipassana applied to real life. But again, I don't think we can refer to...
It's not the understanding at all.
No. Must refer to the vipassana jnanas only.
But vipassana jnana is daily life, too.
Yes.
Nibbana is daily life.
Now?
No.
Daily life is now.
Okay.
In the Sabha Sutra, that reminds me when it refers to the all to be known. And so it refers to the all that can be known in daily life for each of us. So now there's no Nibbana. So Nibbana would not be included, is that correct?
Is Nibbana near or far?
Far.
And what is near now?
Seeing, visible object,
not Nibbana.
Thinking, not Nibbana.
But when there's Panya, it can be right now.
So in the Sabha Sutta, does it refer to the all that could possibly be known by anyone, or does it just refer to the near what can be known?
According to the individual's panya.
But there's nothing outside the all of the Sabha Sutta. It means that is a description of all that can ever be experienced.
Otherwise, useless to talk about.
Do you ask Kung Su Chin about that sutta that someone raised on DSG which referred to the horror and disgust and what Ananda's contemplation of impermanence in all formations? Here Ananda Abhikkhu is horrified, atiyati, humiliated and disgusted by all formations, harayati, something like that. And the translator has horror, is oppressed, humiliated, feels shame, is abashed, disgusted, arouses disgust as though having seen something filthy. Of course, it must be all kusala because it's relating to the impermanence of all formation. So is it just referring to understanding the horror or disgust of
the dukkha aspect? And the dukkha is the arising and falling away.
In the Visuddha Marga, it refers to the understanding of the arising and falling away by understanding the momentariness and also understanding conditions. It seems like it's two different aspects.
Now, there is sound. Doesn't it arise?
Yes.
Doesn't it fall away?
Yes, and it's by conditions.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be the same, it's by conditions, it arises and falls away, but in the Visuddhimagga it talks about it as though it's two different aspects of understanding the impermanence.
I think that when panya has developed, right understanding grows and grows until it can penetrate the conditions too. For example now, it seems that there is sound arising and falling away unknowing all the time. But when panya is there, just there, at that very moment of the arising and the falling away of other reality too, how can there be less understanding about the conditions, which conditions different reality, one at a time?
No, there has to be more understanding of conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes together.
Mm-hmm. So that panya can be stronger, that it can eliminate the attachment to the nimitta and the anubhayanchana.
Can panya realize the arising and the falling away in the same moment? Or is it no arising in one moment?
One characteristic at a time.
So arising is one characteristic?
No, I mean the sound arise and fall away. it doesn't mean the sound arises and the other object following.
No, I mean the same rupa arising and falling away, so Panya can same know that in that one moment.
We don't have to say one or two moments.
This is what Nina wrote actually. I've read that there are two ways of realizing the ceasing of phenomena. It's necessary to penetrate the momentary arising and falling away of dharmas as developed in the course of insights. The second way is realizing that what arises does so because of conditions, that ignorance that conditions arising, and the eradication of ignorance means that there'll be the ceasing of conditioned phenomena. And I checked the reference in the Visuddhimagga, and it does seem to refer to two different ways, but actually you're saying it's...
I can't do.
One is the direct understanding of the momentary arising and falling away of dharmas.
It means that the panya can penetrate the arising and falling away.
Yes, and the second is realizing that what arises does so because of conditions. So that these are the two ways of understanding the ceasing of
at
dharmas.
Moment of experiencing directly, does it need word at that very moment?
No.
But understanding can understand without thinking in words at all.
It seems like the differentiation between those who understand the Tilakana via impermanence, not self, and dukkha, it's there together, but it's just through accumulations. What will be understood first, is it?
Okay, now, do you know that sound is conditioned? Or the characteristic of sound is that which appears as not knowing anything at all, right now. And when panya develops, can panya know better and better?
Right, so it understands deeper and deeper.
Yeah. Otherwise, there would not be 16 vipassanayana.
You know, the Suddhimagga, when it talks about third stage of insight, seeing rise and fall in two ways, by way of instant and by way of condition, he sees the rise of the material aggregate in the sense of condition thus with the arising of ignorance, etc. So it's just indicating that it's deeper understanding that understands not only the conditioned nature, but also the arising and falling away.
Yeah. For example, right now we can think about the difference between whisper object and sound, right?
Yeah.
But can panya penetrate the moment when this one arises and falls away and the other one arises and falls away?
But when it... Deeper. Two ways is a bit misleading. It's just indicating deeper.
For example, right now, can there be the understanding of sound with awareness only? Not that it's conditioned. See?
As a beginning.
But when one is used to that characteristic, better and better, deeper and deeper, one can see that it's conditioned.
I think that leads to a quote I saw from Nina. It just hit me because it was so apropos for me. And she wrote, "What helps me very much in my life is learning that in truth, not the other person or a situation is causing aversion, but that my accumulated unwholesome inclinations are the real cause of suffering and unhappy feeling. The Abhidhamma helps me to understand this more and more and to apply it." This is what Nina wrote.
If one does not forget.
Yeah. When the anger is arising, it would be nice if there were the conditions to cause the thought of this to arise too at the same time, just right after.
It's not I or self, but sati.
Right.
Learn to understand that correctly, which is sati.
It comes back to what we were saying earlier, that moment of understanding is much more valuable than having less anger.
And what about lopa? This is about dosa.
Right. Same thing.
More often.
Yeah.
Without lobha, no dosa for sure.
It happens not rarely that people come to the Dhamma because they want to improve themselves and without
For the sake of understanding reality.
Well, it happens like that for some people.
I see.
And instead of seeing that there is no self, it might even happen that they feel good about this self, they believe that they are developing. So it becomes some kind of self-improvement course.
Did the Buddha exhort his listeners to develop sila?
All kinds of kusala.
But never at the expense of developing pandya.
Wasn't the sila something that came up much later, whereas it began with the essential nature of Paramattha Dhammas?
You mean the rules?
The teachings. Certainly the Vinaya rules came later, the 227. Even the five precepts and all that, at what point was that taught?
I think that when we understand citta and cetasika, yes, no need to be told,
yes,
to do this or that.
Yes.
Even one develops satipatthana, mm-hmm, and panya is not that level,
yes,
that it can abstain from the five silas,
yes,
then the Buddha set the rules for monks only, not for lay people. But for lay people, it's only five according to general ethics or sila.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Any society would have many of these precepts. It cannot exist without these precepts, many of them.
But it depends on who would like to intend to keep or to observe the five.
Yes,
or just
certainly.
It's their own nature,
yes,
not doing all wrong things.
I've got a question about... Actually, this comes up from something Azita brought up some time ago about a passage she found helpful that Nina had quoted about remembering as Sanya's condition for sati, and we had some discussion about terms, and afterwards I checked different terms. We have sarana, remembering, thus it is mindfulness. So they remember saranti, or it remembers, or it's just remembering sarana, thus it is mindfulness. This refers to the accompanying dharmas that are conditioned by sati. The accompanying dharmas are conditioned by the prominent influence of sati. It remembers to be wholesome. So this is sarana, first of all. And then tirasanya, remembrance or perception, as the proximate cause of sati. So by listening or considering or reflecting over and over, he recalls and recollects sarita anusarita. This is quite different because this is referring to the remembering of sanya, which is a condition for sati, I think. Yes, so awareness, he remembers constantly, etc. And then sometimes it says, for example, that he remembers deeds or something performed long ago as a condition for sati now. Because of remembrance, because of recollection, because of consideration, the words done long ago, the development of practice, such as the duties or whatever. But actually it's remembering kusala performed, or remembering what one has heard from the Dharma as a condition for sati now. Is this correct? I mean, there seem to be several different references to remembering or recollection. First of all, as a condition for sati, and then as a function.
Do you remember, or do you forget that now it's Dhamma?
Remember now it's Dhamma?
Or forget?
Sometimes forget?
And that's the meaning of it.
Yes.
Okay. The tira sanya, or the firm or stable sanya,
okay,
about Dhamma.
The firm remembrance of Dhamma, conditioning it. And the nature of remembering, which conditions the associated Dhamma, so the past conditioning, the present remembering or
mm-hmm
understanding. And when it refers to deeds done long ago, or words spoken long ago, or whatever, the remembering and recollecting, of course it's not thinking about what's done long ago, it just means anything that happened in the past can be a condition now for the remembering or recollecting, like understanding in past lives or understanding last year can be a condition for the remembering or recollecting the function of sati.
It has to be wholesome cetasikas.
So it does mean the other way than what it appears at first read, that it is because of the deed in the past that one remembers to have sati now? Is that the meaning?
Some said to me that long time ago, he or she or they listens to the Dhamma tape, and after 10 or 20 years, they heard it again and they had thought about it.
Is that the meaning?
Mm-hmm.